flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris on this Thursday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby with you to kick things off. Chris Ella will join us, what, next couple hours?
All right, let's play a little game, everyone. He says 3:30. When will Chris show up at work?
I'll say 4 o'clock.
I'll say, you know, he seems pretty confident about this one. But I feel like he's going to end up frozen on a runway somewhere. So
he's always confident.
I'm going to say 3:45.
Okay, 3:45.
Which is crazy for me to say.
Which probably means he's not getting on until 4 because we'll be in the middle of a segment. Now, before we get into the show today, I think, you know, we all need to kind of put aside our competitive nature with the city up north in Los Angeles for a second. I think what's going on up there right now is terrifying. And tragic, and all of those words that you can put in. I mean, whole cities right now on fire. Palisades fire, I think, is the one that kind of set things off. Meanwhile, there are other fires. Those have built up. One outside of Pasadena, one outside of Santa Clarita. The one that I think has been put on TV quite often is the one up in West Hollywood. You can see the flames burning directly behind the Hollywood sign that's up that way. And it is, you know, we experience these fires yearly, but it still is shocking to see the type of devastation that we've seen.
I mean, in Malibu, the past 48 hours. Some of the parts of Malibu are completely gone. We're looking at pictures on the TV right now of the Malibu shores, and houses and restaurants and everything is just gone.
I mean, the scary part is still 0% contained in the two biggest fires.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Shrabi and I will work in the meantime to get some stuff up in terms of how you can help. You know, with a lot of the people who've been misplaced, dogs, you know, animals,
horses, cows, everything.
It is truly going to take a team effort to help kind of get this thing settled and in the right direction.
When we had the fires here, we've had two huge fires in the last like 25 years. And I remember the first one of my friends was really nervous because their grandparents were living out in like the, you know, the
sticks.
Yeah, sticks, for lack of a better term. And since they're older, they can't get out of the house. Right. And the fire was coming for them. They couldn't get up there. And so you have elderly people that may be stuck right now. It's scary.
I think the good thing about, you know, at least how it's turned out over the last 20, 25 years, and at least specifically in California, is when people take heed to the warnings that are put up there. Everybody's hyper-focused when we get to this time of year. So it sounds like, you know, we haven't had the type of human devastation that we could have, because people have actually listened to the evacuation orders and have gotten out. And so, from a life standpoint, which ultimately is the most important. I mean, obviously,
there have been lives lost.
There has been some, but, certainly if hadn't been folks listening to these orders, it could have been a whole lot worse in terms of life loss. But that doesn't make it any less painful to see people losing whole homes and property during these huge wildfires.
The second fire we had here, I was in college, and I remember my parents calling me and saying they could see the flames from our house, and they were like asking me what I wanted from the house, and it like hit me in that moment, like, wow, the house could actually burn down, and it's a helpless feeling.
Yeah.
Very helpless.
I mean, as it pertains to the sports world, it certainly seems like the Chargers have their contingency plan for this upcoming playoff.
Yeah, my friend actually has season tickets to the Rams, and she told me today that the Rams have sent out emails with contingency plans about whether or not they're going to be moving to Arizona for the game. And so they're at least thinking about it. I would think they have to make the decision soon. I asked her, do they have a time frame? She said no, but I would think the decision's coming.
Their game is on Sunday.
Monday.
So they got an extra day.
They do.
Versus it being on a Sunday, where you probably would have had that made that decision today.
Yeah.
Give people time to make their change.
I don't think it's coming today, though.
Yeah, no. I'm saying if it was on Sunday, it would have been coming
tomorrow
today.
Tomorrow is probably a deadline because you have to move everything to Phoenix. But it's crazy to see these pictures.
Hornets Lakers tonight has been postponed. Apparently, J.J. Redick and his family lost their home. I believe they were in the Palisades.
He did lose his home,
and he lost his home. So Lakers-Hornets postponed tonight. And I don't think it's because solely of J.J.'s,
just safety
the Reddicks
reasons.
Losing their home. I think because of, how many fires are actually happening in that city, they don't want people really moving around all coming to the
take in a game.
I was about to call it the Staples Center, but the crypto arena. So
yeah,
prayers up for the folks in Los Angeles. Lots of different ways you can help. I've seen some QR codes going around on Instagram. There's some shelters and things of that nature. If you can, you should do so.
Kathy, a great listener, Kathy, she lives up there. She said she was lucky that the Sunset fire last night was contained fast, and she lives near it, almost got evacuated. Yeah. But, I mean, if you have friends in L.A., you need to call them and figure out what's going on. I know Sam Levitt's brother, he said this last night on his show. His brother lives in West Hollywood, and he had to evacuate last night. So
yeah. It's certainly a tough situation to be watching. All right, let's get to some sports. On the other side of that, Padres. Making some news.
We got news. news.
Don't know that it's necessarily good news, but I don't think it's bad news
either. It's news.
Where shall we start? Shall we start with the Mr. King?
That's the biggest one.
Let's go with that. Michael King and the Padres. Padres have an immaculate record for not going to arbitration. They usually come to some agreement, get the job done. I think
2014 was the last one. Andrew Cashner.
I think that's the only one, as a matter of fact.
AJ Preller is known for not going all the way through the arbitration process.
Whatever it was, he changed his mind. And this time.
I was like, wait, did something new happen?
They did not end up coming to terms for arbitration. Now, it doesn't mean they won't come to a deal at some point beforehand. We've seen these things go right up to the time where the gavel is about to hit the floor,
we're
table.
Putting on our wigs,
right?
Like
we've seen that, and then all of a sudden they come to an agreement. So I mean, as I said, this is one of those ones that it's the biggest news because of the name involved, but I don't know that it's good or bad news. They just haven't come to a salary point yet.
I think it is. There's many I became a goat for a second. There's many tentacles off of this because if Michael King didn't like his arbitration number, I don't blame him, because or the number that they were trying to settle on. I don't blame him. But I was talking to Adam before the show and reading a bunch of articles, and what's going to hurt Michael King in this number doesn't take into account that he's a starter now. Most of his career has been as a reliever, and so when you're going through your formulas or whatever it is that you pop out a number, it's not going to be the number he wants.
Oh, that's right. The vaunted analyst, Adam Klug, broke it down for
me.
Okay,
it was more than Adam. It was also different like articles that I was reading because I got really concerned. I didn't know that they could
still come to a deal. So he's the first pitcher to hit arbitration that has reliever numbers?
No, but what I'm saying is this is why he's doing it, because he probably deserves more money than what the arbitration
number. Do we know what the number is?
No, I don't know what the number is.
So no one knows what the number is. Has it been out there, but we just are just assume that that's what's happening?
I think it was around, because I went to my favorite website ever, SpotTrack, and
SpotTrack is on point with these numbers most of the time.
And it says that he has agreed in arbitration, which I don't. It's not doing well for my endorsement of SpotTrack, but it says $10.7 million. Dylan Cease, $13.75 million.
Okay, so that's the number that SpotTrack is putting on there, and is the argument for you and your analysts that are looking at this, is that he wants somewhere near Dylan Cease. He should be around that number?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If Dylan Cease is getting around $14 million, then I think Michael King should get around $14 million. And then you know how my head spirals once I start getting on these little crazy things. And then I thought, what happens when they have to negotiate with Michael King after this year?
Oh, he's a free agent after this year.
I know. Are they just going to lose him? Or are they going to give him a contract? Or does he now jump to the front of the line of people to trade above Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez?
I don't know that we even should even get to that point right now. He has got the last year of arbitration. All indications seem that the Padres haven't entertained moving a guy like Michael King. And listen, at the end of the day, if the argument that you and Adam and everybody else is presenting,
last one was me.
Well, okay, not talking about the last one, but the one before that okay. Is that he needs to get Cease's number. We're haggling over like $3 million here. It's like ten.
But that's a lot for Michael King. That's a lot.
But it's not a lot in the grand scheme of Padres.
I'm seeing from Nick Atkins on the chat that he was projected Michael King around $7 million.
Okay,
so instead of the 10, so that would be a 14 million or a 7 million dollar difference.
10 on SpotTrack, 7.
Shouldn't have brought up my favorite website when it's wrong.
I mean, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. We don't actually know what the number is. When we get to that point and they start to those numbers start to come out, like if we're haggling over like 10.3 versus 7 or 13.5. You settle in the middle somewhere. Now, if the gap is really 7 and 13,
yeah,
that's a bigger issue there. So
maybe that's why they chose the 10.
somewhere in the middle. We'll see.
I mean, Luis Arraez is who would you say? Maybe we should go to break. We could have this conversation on the other side.
You know we should.
My question is.
Just save your question
okay.
Till we come back for the break.
Okay.
More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
2:17 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. And, you know, I'm not one that likes to say I told you so, but in this room with these two guys generally, I don't mind it. And
part of the gig.
You're due an I told you so. During the break, we got a text from our third partner, our third guy.
Yep.
Second of three, however you want to put it.
Yep.
And he's going to be late. Like I said.
Yeah, here's his text.
Here's what any passenger wants to hear before getting on a small charter airplane. Our flight was delayed a half hour because there was an issue with the plane.
Did he put that in quotes?
Yes. That would be the very same plane we're about to take off in.
And you know what I kind of feel bad about? Side note about this. He's using new emojis because I've shamed him out of the
the blushy
have
face.
Have you noticed
emoji?
This? Yes, that he has not sent a blushy face. And now I start.
You can tell he's resists. To do it.
I sent some back sometimes just to like, okay, it's okay, Chris, you can do the blush. Nah. But no, I've shamed him
You've
enough.
You've ruined it. He
so
will
Chris,
never use the blushy face emoji you get.
Blushy face emoji. He will not be here at 3:30.
No, he won't. Closer to 4, like I said.
Yes.
Question.
I have my question.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
The question I had, because...
Is this a good question?
I hope so. Luisa Rise is settled for, or not settled, they've agreed $14 million for him. Dylan Cease has agreed on a contract $13.75 million for him. Who is more valuable to you out of those two guys? I find it a little crazy with what pitchers are being paid these days that Luisa Rise is valued at more money than Dylan Cease. Now, I don't really care who makes more money. But who's more valuable to you?
On this team, it's probably Dylan Cease.
You know, because they need pitching.
They need pitching. There are probably a lot of teams that would tell you, and maybe unless they got like four dogs in their starting rotation, five, you know, and they need the offense. It just depends. But I think on this team, it's probably Dylan because the Padres, that's probably the spot where they lack the depth that they want in the rotation. And so, you know, it's not, I don't know that it's that much of a surprise in terms of the arbitration number is.
Do you think that it, because both Dylan Cease and Michael King, they have to choose one over the other at some point this year?
I don't know what to think, honestly.
Thank you for being honest, because none of us do.
I don't know what to think. Now me not knowing what to think doesn't mean I don't trust what, you know, assuming all things are regular.
Yeah.
And you know, AJ has the ability to, you know, maneuver as he did last year. I trust him, but there just are, we haven't seen the movement. I don't know if we even mentioned it. The Padres did have a signing while we were gone. They signed the former Brewer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Infielder.
I'm forgetting his name as well. But yeah, it was while we were gone.
Nonetheless, I mean, that's one of the few moves they've made that of guys that weren't actually on the team last year, you know?
Yes.
And so it's hard to really know what to think. I can't blame
Mike Brousseau.
Got a little thump for a little.
I was gonna say, like, is he like a
you hope he
a
can,
bench guy?
Yeah, you hope he can turn into what Solano and
Peralta.
And those guys. I think that's what you ideally. Now, there's a possibility he gets thrust into having a bigger role, but I think that's the ideal when you sign a Mike Brouzar, is that you want him to kind of fill that same void, same type of role. But yeah, I mean, it's you can't really blame the fans for feeling some anxiety right now, you know. It's different this year than it was last year again because the teams around the Padres and what they're doing, you know, it's as much about the other teams making moves and getting better as it is the Padres not.
Nick, our listeners know so much about these guys, but I guess Brousseau played with Sasaki in Japan.
Great.
trying to get to my. He's bringing Brousseau in to have a friend for Sasaki.
Yeah. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, no,
we know where he's going now.
Not there you go.
Also, Dan says that the guy's name we were looking for was my man. That's his name.
Thanks, Mike. I didn't think to use my man at that point because I knew his name was like on my tongue. It wasn't like just a blank one like it normally is.
Here's another one that the Padres agreed. They agreed with Adrian Morihone for $2 million, and they agreed with Luis Campusano for $1 million.
I love the Adrian Morihone, having him. I thought he had his best season of his career. Who was the other one you said?
Luis Campusano.
We always do. He's got they signed a minor league catcher too yesterday.
Did they now?
Yes.
Why am I missing all these news alerts?
I don't know.
Rodolfo Duran.
Yeah.
That was a quick work right there.
That was quick. That's one of your better computer works right there.
I'm sorry, Rodolfo, if you're listening, but that doesn't move the needle for me. They still need a starting catcher, and they're going to get a starting catcher.
Why do you keep saying they need a starting catcher? They need a catcher.
Well, they have a catcher
with the other catcher they have.
I don't think I'm not as high on Luis Campusano as Chris
is. Forget what Chris said. Who is it that you are going to bring in that's a free agent that you are going to be like, boom, yours to go. You go. You run out there.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you. You can't think of
anybody. He's in Texas with the Rangers now.
They're all signed up playing some places, the guys that you would want to replace him with.
I'm very nervous about this, even more so now that we're having this conversation. Luis Campusano, they're going to give him as much time as he needs for $1 million a year. I mean, that's what's going to happen. And I hope that he can come through. But I don't know how you can go into this year thinking that he's going to be better than he was last year. You have to just
assume.
Did you
go into thinking that Profar was going to be what he did this year?
No. I definitely thought Profar, and I've admitted this many times, I was 100% wrong on Profar. I said it wasn't a needle mover.
There you go. It sounds quite familiar, actually, what you're saying right now.
But, okay.
Mm.
Do you expect Luis Campusano to go from last year to MVP consideration?
I'm not asking him to do that.
Elias Diaz is on a team to the chat. He's already on.
He's with the Yankees.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, I know he is.
Okay. I just get nervous about this catcher. That's the only position on the field I'm nervous about is the catcher position because it is so important for this team and every team.
Let me ask you a question.
What's up?
No, I don't want to ask you that question.
Anyway. No, why?
Because it really doesn't matter. I just think the catching position is like far down the priority list is what I'm saying.
See, as a non-baseball pitching, person,
I would say left field. I'd even put relief above catching in terms of who I need to sign right now.
Okay, I can get behind that. I just see what the Padres have had for years.
You're technically assuming, well, I guess Bogey, based on what we last heard Schulte say. Can't remember. I think it was with
Diaz is a free agent, by the way. I thought so.
Elias Diaz?
Yeah.
He hasn't signed with the Yankees yet? Maybe that was rumored that he was signing with the Yankees.
Yeah, he's still out there.
The last time we heard from Schulte, he said that he made it as though, I lost my train of thought. So you threw me off with the Diaz thing, man. It's like right there.
I can't help you on this
one.
Can't. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
I've said what all I need to say. You were asking about King being traded. I don't think the Padres are going.
I don't think so either. For the record,
at all. So
I just think there's just so many questions, and I have said I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to try to continue being patient.
That's what makes it hard to talk about this team right now, is because there is so many questions, and we don't in terms of the roster, and we don't have like any evidence one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, that is why it's so difficult to talk about this. But we're on it.
Yeah.
And I'll be talking lots about this on the Scraby Show tonight at 6 p.m.
There's also, you know, in the same way, I mean, we knew Jackson was going to be given a chance to make that team this year. I don't know that we're going into this spring training with the same idea for Salas and DeVries. Probably a year. I mean, I think at best, you're hoping that come 2026, both of those dudes are like ready at the very least to compete for a spot. That would put them on the type of path that Jackson has been on.
Yeah.
The other question, I think, you know, the expectations for Jackson Merrill. I mean, dude, quite frankly, should have won Rookie of the Year. Didn't.
Thank you, Tony.
Didn't, right?
Right.
What is this year? I mean, Where do you go from here?
I don't know.
If you're Jackson Merrill, if you're a Jackson Merrill fan, if you're a Padres fan, what is it that you're looking for Jackson to do next? Would you be content if he put up the same exact year?
Yes.
Absolutely. You should be content if he put up the same exact year. Are you want a little bit more?
Obviously, I'm greedy. But I'll take what he did. Here's his stats from last year, and you tell me
I don't need to hear him. I can tell you. I'll take the exact same
thing. But do you think that he has more than 24 home runs? Is he capable of more than 24?
I didn't think he had 24 home runs in him this first year.
So the answer is he could be.
Exactly. Once you make me a liar, I then will wait to see. I will no longer, once you've made me look stupid, because I think I said, I can't remember, it was 15, 16, I think I said he was going to hit.
Yeah,
asking the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you make me look stupid, now I'm not going to be as quick to jump out there. I'll wait to see from Jackson, because he's already shown me that he's got that kind of pop. And it was easy. It wasn't like he was out there trying to do it. It was just the beautiful left-handed stroke.
A couple of the chats say, a good year for Jackson Merrill would be avoiding the sophomore slump.
So they would be, that to me means they'd be more than content if he put up the same exact year.
Yeah, if he hits 24 home runs, hits .292, drives in 90 runs, and has an OPS of .826, you take that.
All day. All day.
And you can't, but to me, you can't go into the season thinking that he's going to be better than that. You can't expect for him to be better than that.
I think that would be foolish. I think hoping he can produce the same rate. I think based on how things are right now with this roster, I think Xander Bogaerts is going to have his best year as a Padre. You know what I'm saying?
Because
that was good.
Thank you.
A little DMX right there.
DMX was one of the Blood of My Blood was one of the first
that
CDs I've ever bought.
Was not corny at all. That was money.
Thank you.
It almost went over my head. I had to kind of like reach back and catch it.
I mean, but he has to be, his song X Gonna Give It To You, it has to be that. Anyway, he has to have a great year.
I mean, when you think of, as I said, right now we don't have Jerickson Profar's production in the lineup. He's not on the team. You don't have Kyle Gashioka's production. He's not on the team. Because of that, you know, and whatever you want to say about Kim in his last year, you're not going to have what he was able to give you at any point last year. So, as I said, right now, he's the one dude that highlights that his year is going to have to be a step up.
We're walking a tightrope this season.
Well, we're walking a tightrope right now with no left fielder.
Yeah.
No second catcher.
Because then I'm thinking, okay, well,
we don't even necessarily know who the shortstop's going to be yet. And that's what I was trying to get to with Chilt. He said, if we get to that point, we know Bogey can play short and we'll address it when we get there. But we're not there yet. So they may still be exploring the possibility of bringing somebody in. I don't know who's on the free agent market. Don't know who's available.
Usually
via trade.
It's someone that no one's paying attention to is what AJ gets.
Right.
At that point,
are you better? Yeah. What about him?
Well, we talked about him a little bit yesterday, and I thought a lot about him. Even though his hitting numbers aren't that great.
He had a bad year last season.
He's a good left fielder. And if Jerickson Profar doesn't come here, then he can be relied upon defensively.
I do, too. He's a left-handed bat.
He has a chip on his shoulder against the Dodgers.
He just plays with an edge to him that's not the same as Prof, but I can see that being a kind of a match for the Padres if it got there. I think obviously Jerickson's the dude you want to bring, especially considering the fact that we are in middle of January, about to be in the middle of January, and he still hasn't signed. And so, maybe as I said Monday, maybe that's a good sign. Maybe the number is coming back towards
to
the Padres where they can make something happen. So
Have Scott Boris as his agent, though. So
does he still have Scott?
I'm pretty sure.
I felt like after the last time he changed up.
No, that was Jordan Montgomery.
No, I'm talking about you remember Jerickson wasn't a free agent. He was a free agent the time before that, the Colorado one.
Oh, the Colorado one.
After that whole fiasco, he changed it up. But never mind. It doesn't matter.
Going back to my favorite website, Spotrek.
Spotrek.
It says it's still Scott Boris.
Okay, maybe so. So, we'll see what happens. A lot of questions to be answered. All right, let's get to the break. When we come back, talk a little football. Get ready for this.
I tried to throw a pass to Tony in the studio.
He threw a frisbee instead. I don't know what was.
It's like a more of a first down signal than a throw, to be honest.
We'll talk a little bit of college football. Obviously, the playoff kicks off today. The, was it semifinal?
Yep,
final
semifinal.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it next on Gwen and Chris.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby here, 97.3 The Fan. Gwynn and Chris, I'll be back on later today at 6 p.m. with the Scraby Show. Chris said he was going to be here by 3:30, but he's on the tarmac right now.
I tried to tell Scraby that wasn't happening.
You did, and I felt, because he's actually this time, usually they fly commercially.
Yeah.
And
no,
so they're at the mercy of Southwest Airlines.
But Chris is traveling with them, and I think this may be...
This is a charter.
I understand, but I think my point is that every time, maybe Chris is the common denominator. Maybe he is the reason why these things keep happening.
We're going to have to bring that up to him later, because a charter, you're supposed to take off at the right time. There's no passenger delays. You're supposed to get there. And then when he gets there, it's going to be like 10 degrees. So this is going to be a great day for Chris.
For sure.
A great day for Chris. Padres came to agreements with players on arbitration. So we already talked about that. We'll talk about that as the show goes along. But right now, we have a lot of football happening this weekend. Tonight, Penn State and Notre Dame and Notre Dame's actually, Tony, dealing with a little bit of an illness
Team. Now, I saw reports today that it has actually gotten better because of Perrin.
The statement says it will have no impact on the game.
Yeah, today it says that. But the way they wrote the article earlier today was... It was kind of an outbreak, basically, in their camp. And so, listen, I think there's probably – that article's probably right. There's probably nothing that would have stopped these guys from playing, but you know it would have been a storyline if they all walked in and they were just hacking on each other the whole game.
That would. I mean, I don't know how guys – whenever I hear about someone playing through an illness like the flu – because I remember as a kid, Steve Young one time – had the flu, and he was literally throwing up on the sidelines between series. And I'm just like, how do you do that? Because when I have the flu, there's literally nothing in the world that's going to get me out of bed.
I've always found that when I'm sick and not doing nothing, I feel worse.
Really?
When I'm actually, like, if I have enough strength to work out or just be active, I feel better during that time. So, I mean, I can understand why guys, you know, can play and still do things, because I actually feel worse when I'm sick and you know, not active at all.
No, I'm just sitting in bed all day.
Probably why you feel like crap.
Can someone bring me some chicken soup?
That's what I do.
You do seem like the person who milks their sickness the most.
No, I definitely don't. I don't like when anybody helps me. It's a problem.
That's also true.
Jeremiah Love, running back for Notre Dame, is expected to play tonight. He's been dealing with a knee injury, and I didn't know that when I made my bet on him last week, and he had 6 carries against Georgia, so that ended my bet.
Do your research if you're going to be gambling there, sir.
Absolutely right. Carson Beck, the Georgia, now former Georgia quarterback, is going to be entering the transfer portal after he's already declared for the NFL draft. But many people think with his injury, he's going to have to find another school to prove that he could still throw like he did for the NFL teams to draft him.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. He's going to get a chance to finish what he started. Probably was his worst nightmare, getting hurt in that game.
A worst nightmare.
But ultimately, it wasn't just a regular bowl game. And, you know, he gets the one of the other benefits of being in college sports these days is you have an opportunity to do these type of things. You can help get the medical red shirt, go get a chance to play. And if some of this new stuff that has come out with the adding a fifth year to everybody, I mean, it's not going to be necessarily a young man's game by the time you get through college. You're going to be 23, 24, 25 years old.
But
we're
already seeing the benefits for the players, that is, because these guys can make money now. They don't have to force themselves into the NFL anymore.
In a lot of cases, they didn't have a choice. They couldn't force themselves into the NFL.
But now they can develop, or now they can go make a couple million dollars and prove that your arm is still good. all of that.
Yeah,
all
it's,
of that.
It's one of the positives with the a lot of negatives as well.
Yeah, lots of negatives. Just 2 days after the Raiders, Tony, they said that Tom Telesco, I guess they didn't say he was safe, but they did not.
They just didn't fire
him. They didn't fire him with Antonio Pierce. Well, they have fired him.
So I wonder, was Telesco in on the meeting where Pierce got fired?
That would be interesting.
Like, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Whew. Dodged a bullet. Didn't get fired today.
It's
only to find out 24 hours later that you are indeed fired.
Yeah, that would be tough. Tom Telesco, obviously we know him here in San Diego. He's only with the Raiders for 1 year, 1 or 2 years.
He was Colts, Chargers, Raiders.
Yeah, once he got let go from the Chargers. But I think Tom Telesco is going to find another. This is his second GM job now that he's been let go from.
I mean, he might very well have to take a break. We've seen that, you know, you kind of got to filter out and then try to kind of revitalize your image a little bit.
There's a lot of that going on. Robert Sala interviewed for the defensive coordinator position of the 49ers today.
I like that. I like that. I think he also is interviewing for the Raiders job, I saw.
And the Jaguars job.
I can see Tom Brady liking a guy like Sala.
Yeah, I can too.
And
fiery,
him.
Passionate, all of the above.
I did find it interesting that the day after you started seeing maybe Belichick is going to interview for the Raiders job.
Yeah,
Raiders put out a statement today, or at least put it out there that they're not interested.
They're
not going that route.
Well, maybe Bill said, "Nah, I'm good."
I think it sounds, you know, McAfee. He was.
You're a Pat McAfee fan now.
You know what happens is now that I am, you know, not watching news anymore. It's on sports. It's on ESPN pretty much 24/7, and so a lot of times, especially recently, my dog has been a little sick, and like
which one?
Axel, the big guy,
oh.
And his farts are just like permeating the room, and so it's keeping me up. And so I like will go into my game room and I can't once I'm up I can't fall back to sleep unless the TV's on. So Pat's on there, you know what I'm saying, sometimes. they had Bill's offensive Lombardi.
Okay.
Lombardi was on the show, who's joining that UNC staff. And he was saying that Bill Belichick is committed to North Carolina.
Like, I'm glad to hear that.
And it makes sense. It's like, not only are you dealing with yourself, but you also invited these other guys to come in and gave them a job. I mean, Lombardi was doing weekly hits on McAfee before.
He used to be an Odyssey Empire.
Right. Before this job. So I don't think it's that easy just to pick up and be like, you know what? I changed my mind. I want to go back. You got your son there as well.
Yeah.
So,
and he's the coach in waiting. So you
wonder if that blows up if he leaves before he ever coaches a game. You know what I'm saying? So
Bill needs to coach for his son to take over. Okay. His son has no track record whatsoever, other than...
That's not true. His son definitely has a track record.
Of coaching under his dad.
I think he had just coached a year without his dad. I think he did an NFL this year.
Okay, I'll stop with my nepotism
stop
but
hating, man.
In the Big Five, I have a question about Dion. We'll talk about him because he was on Good Morning America today, and he talked about what the conditions would be for whether or not he coaches in the NFL. And we'll talk about it later. I have the clip. But I have thoughts.
I'm sure you do, Scraby. What else do you got?
I love Dion.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I don't like Coach Prime.
You're the same guy.
I like Primetime. Don't like Coach Prime.
You could argue that that Primetime was far more cocky, arrogant,
but that was
all of
that. Character on the field. That was a guy that he played on the field. He's kind of like...
He's being himself now. You don't want him to be himself? You want him to play the fake guy?
Yeah. Primetime was way better.
No, he wasn't.
Primetime was so much better when he was doing his high step.
That's because he was playing. He was entertaining you with his own skill.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Colorado. And by the way, all those people that were on the Dion Colorado train this year went really quiet because the team faltered down the stretch.
They didn't fall. They lost one game.
They lost to Kansas, and then they lost in the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, my God. Is that faltering to you, losing your bowl game after going 9-3 or whatever it is?
Losing to Kansas? Yes. You can't be losing to Kansas.
You are so whack and a hater. It's cool. You know, I still love you.
I'm not whack.
You are whack.
All right. Let's talk about some of the games this weekend. We'll start with the Steelers and Ravens, which is on Saturday at 5 p.m. Zay Flowers.
Out.
Out.
Yeah.
Does that affect them?
I think it does. I mean, that's their... I will say this. Lamar's thrown the ball well enough where I don't know that he needs Zay Flowers, but it's a big loss.
Huge loss.
Remember, before the last game that Baltimore beat Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh had their number.
They say that Pittsburgh is Lamar Jackson's kryptonite.
It was the one team that he struggles with. So are we, after one win, are we going to just say, oh, he's figured it out? Now, that being said, he's playing his best football. Pittsburgh Steelers are probably playing their worst football right now.
Oh, yeah. Lost, what, four in a row?
Four in a row after they were in the driver's seat for that division, up two games, and then lost four straight. Baltimore caught them.
Yeah, we still have our Mike Tomlin talk to do that we've been teasing. Maybe today is the day.
Maybe today is the day.
It is a slow day, but yeah, so the Ravens are going to be hosting the Steelers Saturday night. That
I
is
like the Ravens.
First, me too, but they're 9.5-point favorites. Does that change anything in regards to a bet on the spread?
Nah.
Okay. This is the first game, though.
Yeah,
playoff
it does
game.
Change. I mean, it does? Nine is a lot
nine,
for these
in
two
the
games.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
It's on Amazon.
I saw
this
that.
Game.
So, saw that. So you know Chris won't be watching?
Yeah, which is just so stupid because it's not that hard
I
to get
think
on Prime
I will
Video.
Remove myself from the stat view that you have
yeah.
put me on
mm-hmm.
and watch it regular for the playoffs.
I have to go back and forth between the next gen view and the regular view just because the next gen view sometimes gets a little bit too much.
It does, and you don't get the commentating.
Not all of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You
like
get some of it.
Once the play is over and they start kind of throwing, like you don't get anything.
And then you have that guy that goes ding, ding, ding. who I'm trying to. Lamar Jackson has 1 yard per carry this game. Every time he averages 1 yard per carry, the Ravens lose. Ding, 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 ding. Isn't that what it's like?
That's good. Yes.
Chargers and Texans are the first game of the entire NFL playoffs, Saturday, 1:30.
I feel like
Texans are home.
I feel like the Texans, first of all, the Chargers haven't been to playoffs in a very long time.
Correct.
So,
well, no, that's not true. They blew that game against
the Jaguars,
the Jaguars 2 years ago.
Feels like a very long
time. It does. The
funny thing about it is, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
No, the funny thing about it is that the Texans are having a home game.
No, is that the Texans always get stuck on the first game.
I've noticed this too.
It's like, yeah, you're Texan. And the Chargers probably are lumped into that kind of same group right
now.
Yeah,
I don't know why the Texans always play the first game of the
postseason. First game of the postseason. Every
They're
year.
Like, let's just bury the Texans. I got to say.
Nobody will be watching this one, so go ahead. What channel is that one on?
CBS.
Of course.
The rest of them are on.
See how they did that? They put it on CBS
network.
Where it's a regular network. You can watch it anyway.
You have to watch that one.
The other one, you know, we're gonna tax you to watch this one. You gotta come to Prime.
You're gonna have to pay to watch the good one. So I don't know. Texans, they're one and done. I think the Chargers win this game.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't know about the next round, but I don't have any faith in the Texans right now.
They haven't looked like them like last year.
They scored 2 points against the Ravens on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
that's
that
bad.
Was. Yeah, you're right.
Next game, first game on Sunday, 10 a.m., Buffalo Bills hosting the Denver Broncos. This is a Bills all the way.
Yeah, I hope the Bills put 50 on them. I really do.
I have a feeling Bo Nix will keep it close just because.
I do, too. And, you know, the most interesting thing, and we didn't really talk about this with the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, this is the time of year that people actually care
mm-hmm.
what you're doing.
Yep.
Because all the other stuff we've seen you guys do, we're not surprised that Lamar's going for his third and that Josh Allen is probably up for his... No, not probably. Is up for his first.
Yep.
But this is, you know, we've been talking about what they've been doing all year. We said this at the beginning of the year. Yeah, I think it was like the first couple of weeks. Yeah, it doesn't really matter until they get to postseason. This is where it matters.
It is.
And the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, I think that game goes one of two ways. It's either a blowout in the Bills' way, or there will be a lot of questions that Josh Allen has to answer the following week. And that
That's
going
to be a hard press conference
because
if they lose.
Bo Nix, and as much as I have kind of lost some respect for Sean Payton and how he handled the whole Russell Wilson situation, he's still a very good coach. clearly by what he was able to do in a very short time. I mean, even Denver last year was on the cusp of
terrible, and then they got better.
They got they were on the cusp of getting into the playoffs. So
yeah, they were.
I will credit him. He's done a terrific job. It's never been in question how good a coach he was.
That is true. Next game, 1:30 p.m. on Fox. Packers at Eagles. Jalen Hurts to play, I've heard.
So I said yesterday that he is out of the concussion protocol.
He's not
actually out of the concussion protocol. He was just at practice throwing.
Yes.
Still in the protocol. But signs are pointing that he will
be... When they start doing physical activity on the field, it means that they're leaning towards coming back.
It's headed that way. This is an interesting game because I think this one could also end up like the Bills and Denver game, where it's either going to be a blowout, Eagles are going to run them off the field, or you got Jordan Love. I mean... Say what you will about him. Dude has played some pretty good football these last couple weeks, and he's dangerous enough. And I know he's got some elbow issues. He's had some tingling in his hands. Mm-hmm. See how he combats that, but he's dangerous. He's more dangerous than Bo Nix is.
A week one rematch when they were in Brazil, and the Eagles just eked it out. They had, I think Malik Willis had to throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
Real quick, who do you think is, what do you think the upset watch is on?
Oh, the upset watch, based upon a lower seed being a higher seed only, Commanders over the Bucks.
That's a weak one. That's an easy one.
Okay.
Give me out of the game.
I don't believe that the other team. Okay. I'll go with the Broncos because they have been really good this year and they've won games that I didn't even think
that's
they'd be
the
in.
One that I see that could be the upset.
You know what? I'm going to go with Tony. I'm going to go with the Vikings over the Rams, the 5 seed over the 4 seed. Okay. We still have two games to talk about. We'll talk about them later. But we have the Daily Gambit. We made some bets yesterday. We have some bets for tonight. That's up next on Quinn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.